In your Scofield Bible, page 1020. We'll begin with the 32nd verse. Reading just the 32nd through the 35th verse, the 34th verse being the text verse. And let's stand, please. We'll read these verses responsively. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And let's pray. Bless now, we pray, dear Father, the service, the preaching. Give us open hearts and minds, and meet with us in power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thought very quickly. I'm leaving one thought with you this morning, and I want everybody in the house to sit up straight. I want you to listen carefully. I want every teenager to hear, every child, every senior citizen who might be a little weary. I want you to force yourself now to listen intently. I want to ask the question this morning that our Lord Jesus asked many, many centuries ago when he said, How many loaves have ye? 4,000 people were hungry. This is not the feeding of the 5,000. This is the feeding of the 4,000. 4,000 people were hungry, and our Lord asked them, said, how many loaves have ye? And somebody said, We have 7 loaves and a few fishes. And the Lord Jesus took that 7 loaves and a few fishes, as he did the 5 loaves and 2 fishes earlier, and he broke them, and he fed 4,000 men besides the women and children. And this wonderful, wonderful story. Now, the question I'm going to ask, how many loaves have ye? There's a wonderful, wonderful truth here, and a great truth concerning the service for God. And I want you to listen carefully this morning. Father, I pray you'd help me as I speak. Holy Spirit, breathe in this service. I'd be willing to sacrifice a good sermon for your presence. I'd be willing this morning not to be eloquent if you could touch the hearts of all the people. And I pray that somehow you'd feed our hungry souls. Don't send anybody away today without a blessing from God. Speak to us, Holy Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. A while ago in my Sunday school class in this auditorium, something very sweet happened, and I don't think we really savored it like we should have. I stood to teach, and folks started laughing when I stood to teach. And I thought, I wonder what I've done wrong. I checked everything I was supposed to check to see what was wrong. Nothing was wrong. I knew that I myself am dressed impeccably, as always, and no heckling, please, but from the communist over here on my right. But anyway, I couldn't figure out what it was, and I thought I was teaching on Joshua. I thought maybe I called Joshua Moses or Moses Joshua, so I changed the name. That didn't do any good. They kept on laughing, and then looked up here, and one of our adult retarded men had slipped in the door here and had sat down here in the choir. Most intelligent-looking man I've seen in the choir in a long time. And he sat down by himself in the choir here. And I looked over and said, What can I do? He said, I want to ask you something. And I said, What is it? And I went over to him, and he said, I love you. And he hugged me. And we sent him on to his class. And I thought, now, I didn't savor that like I should have savored that. But I thought during the Lord's Supper this morning, there's never a time in our church's life when I love our people as much as I do in the Lord's Supper time. I even love the deacons in the Lord's Supper time. And almost love the bass section of the choir in the Lord's Supper time. But there's a wonderful, sweet fellowship here. And this morning I want God to speak to us. Why didn't our Lord, why didn't he bid the very desert in which they were sitting to burst into a garden of fruit and break the hard ground with orchard trees grown and laden with fruit? Here are 4,000 men and women and children, and they're hungry. And here's the God of heaven. Here's the one about whom it was said, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Why couldn't he have spoken and Orchard stood as soldiers in pursuit? I'll tell you why he couldn't. Because one of God's primary laws is you must give up in order to receive. Somebody has to have some loaves. Somebody has to have some fishes. Somebody has to have something. Somebody has to give up what they have in order that all may have sufficient fish and bread to eat. The farmer looks to his fields and cries, feed me, feed me. And the field replies, give me seed, give me seed. The farmer says, give me corn, feed me with corn, feed me with corn. And the fields cry back, give us some corn, give us some corn. Invest what you have. And the farmer invests what he has and takes a little bit of what he wants a lot of, and he invests that, and then the harvest time comes, and the crop is plenteous for all. The investor cries to the stock market, yield me a dividend, yield me a dividend. And the stock market replies, give me capital, give me capital. If you want invest money. You will not receive much until you've invested a little. Dear Hannah comes to God, and she says in the temple, God, give me a great prophet. Give me a great man of God. May my womb bring forth a great man of God. And the God of heaven cries back, then give me your son. Give me your son. You give me your son, I'll give you a great prophet. I cry, Lord, give me a life of joy. And the Lord says, okay, but you're going to have to give up what joy you have. May I say this, and I mean this, I'm a happy person. I'm hardly ever melancholy or sad or depressed, rarely ever. I do not recall the last time I was really down in the dumps. But you know one reason I'm happy? I learned they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. But they say, Brother Hiles, what do you cut up so much for? Came to your church and you cut up an awful lot. That's because I cried an awful lot last night. And that's because these eyes are rivers of waters. Brother Hiles, why is it sometimes you get so happy you almost shout? Because I've invested enough tears where I have a right to weep. And so I say, Lord, give me a life of joy. I want a life of joy. And the Lord said, do you want a life of joy? Then invest a little joy in me. And let me have your joy. Let me have it. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Abraham cries, give me a son to father a great nation. And give me a son that'll be the father of a great nation that'll inhabit the land of promise. And God shouts back, give him to me. And God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, take Isaac, thine only son Isaac, and take him to Mount Moriah to a place where I will show thee. Abraham says, but Lord, what for? And the Lord says, I want you to build an altar there. And I want that altar to be a place where you take your son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. You mean my son Isaac to kill him on the altar as a human sacrifice? That's what I want. That's what I want. And Abraham goes to his son and says, Isaac, I've got to take you now to Mount Moriah. And they start that 3-day journey up to Mount Moriah because it was 3 days and 3 nights when the Son of God was in the heart of the earth. And they start that 3-day journey. And so Abraham takes Isaac. And the first night on the trip, as I've so often said, Isaac goes to sleep, but Abraham can't sleep. Sleeping beside him is his own son. And he knows he's going to have to take the knife and pierce his own son's breast with that knife. And he reaches out that night and looks up at the stars of the eastern sky. And he says, dear God, don't you remember what you promised me? You promised me that my seed through my son would be as many as the stars of the heavens. And oh God, now you want my boy. And God said, I want your son, Abraham. And they journey a second day. And that second night, Abraham tries to rest, but he can't. His son Isaac goes off to sleep beside him. Abraham reaches out and picks up a handful of the eastern sand. And as the sand trickles through his fingers, Abraham says, Lord, you promised me that as the sand of the ground was, that someday my seed would be. And Lord, the only chance I have now is through Isaac. And I was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90. And now you want my son. And Lord, I want... And the Lord says, I want your son. Abraham went to Mount Moriah. He put Isaac on the altar there. And you recall the story how that God said, okay, hold Abraham, hold it. God said, Abraham, you've given me a son. Now I'll give you a great nation. Now you listen to me. There's no way anybody's ever happy by seeking happiness. You give up happiness to get happiness. There's no way anybody ever gets joy by seeking joy. You give up joy to get joy. There's no way anybody ever gets fulfillment in life by seeking fulfillment in life. You get fulfillment by giving up fulfillment in life. I say to the Lord, Lord, give me rejoicing. Give me laughter and rejoicing. And the Lord said, okay, I've got a lot of it, but you have to give me yours first and give it up. I cry, let me live. And God cries, then die. I cry, let me reach multitudes of dads for Christ. And God replies, if you reach multitudes of dads for Christ, you're going to have to follow a hearse to a grave and put your own unsaved dad's body in the ground and walk away with a broken heart, that you may have a heart that's broken where you can reach other dads for Jesus. I have a file. I have letters in my files from hundreds of young people who said my dad got saved because God burdened me to win my dad because of the death of your dad. I said, Lord, I want to reach multitudes. He said, you're going to have to plant before you reach multitudes. And you're going to have to take your own dad's body. Dr. Lee Robertson cried, Lord, give me a camp that reaches thousands. And God says, then give me a baby girl, baby Joy. And God reaches down and takes the baby Joy from the lap of Dr. and Mrs. Robertson. And from that came Camp Joy, which now has seen hundreds of thousands of young people go and tens of thousands receive Christ as Savior. It is a divine law that you have to invest what you want in order to get what you want. We love to quote Galatians 6, 7 through 9 and so forth. Be not this, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We like to say, that means if you're a drunkard, you're going to reap punishment. And that means if you live in sin, you're going to... But that's not what that verse really primarily is talking about. It says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. God is saying, you want to have a happy life? Then plant before you do. And you've got to plant what you want. Dr. Bill Rice and Kathy, my good friend Kathy Rice and the late Dr. Bill Rice, at whose funeral I spoke. Dr. Bill, Lord, give Kathy and me a worldwide ministry. Lord, help us to reach thousands and thousands. And the Lord says, could I have your daughter then, your little daughter Betty? And Betty got 105 and 106 fever. And they took her to doctor after doctor. And finally, the meningitis, I think it was, she had caused her ear to burn up. And she lost her ears, lost sight in, hearing in both ears. And then they tried doctor after doctor and specialist after specialist, but didn't come. And then finally one day, Dr. Bill looked at Kathy and said, our daughter's going to be deaf. Let's just face it. And yet from that planting of that the two ears of that little daughter came forth the mighty Bill Rice Ranch, where thousands and tens of thousands of deaf people had been able to hear the gospel of Christ. Why? Because everybody wants to sow, reap, but nobody wants to sow. Years, if I've had a need, I've always planted. Brother John, if I ever have a financial need, which is always, but if I have some great financial need, you know what I always start off? I give away all the money I've got. I mean that. You say, why? Because the farmer's got to give up the seed if he gets the crop. And I give away all the money I've got. And you say, why? Because I'm planting. I needed a car one time. I was driving to O'Hara Field and looked down and saw the ground, the pavement, and I needed a car. And I said, what'd you get one? I gave one away. I gave one away. Why? I was planting. And then came that time here at First Baptist Church of Hammond when our Hiles Anderson College, well, we wanted that campus. We thought God gave it to us. And I'll never forget that day on the way to O'Hara Field when I stopped and called the fellow who was in charge of the building. And he said, $3 million. I said, I can't give you $3 million. $2 million. He said, no. And I said, okay, I can't give you a dime more than $2.5 million. He said, I can't take it. I said, okay, goodbye. He said, hold it, hold it. I'll take $2.5 million. I said, you got a deal. I didn't have $2.5, much left $2.5 million. And I got on the airplane that morning, and I sure said, good morning. I said, hallelujah. And she said, what? I said, I just bought a $2.5 million college. And it just dawned on me. I didn't have any money to pay for it. I promised I'd pay for it in 18 months. And we tried everything. Remember all the things we tried? We tried selling everything but candy. And if we'd had you in charge of the candy, we could have raised that $2.5 million with our school kids selling candy. But we tried everything. We tried the giant print Bibles that everybody else has tried, and we tried it all, and we couldn't raise it. 12 days before the end, I was praying, and I said, "Dear Lord, please give us that campus. We've been leasing it now. It'd ruin our spirit if we had to walk off that lovely campus and the students found out there's no God in heaven. Now, Lord, there are a bunch of students out there, and they think I'm a man of God. And, Lord, they're not going to believe in you." And I fussed and fumed. One night a month, I prayed all night long, asked God to give us that campus. Now we came the 12 days away. And I remember that night, one day it dawned on me, "Son, how have you always gotten things?" And I said, "I've always gotten things, but given up what I've got." And the Lord said, "Won't you try it again?" And that miracle of miracles took place. We found a college. Another college had to have $85,000 or go broke. And we were about to lose our campus. And I called our deacons over here in the chapel together. And I said to the fellows, I said, "God has spoken to my heart." And I gave them this law of sowing and reaping. You got to give up. If you get, you can't get by getting. You can't be happy by seeking happiness. You can't get joy by seeking joy. You get joy by giving up your joy. Tears bring joy. Burden brings joy. Yielding brings joy. Unselfishness brings joy. And I said to the fellows, I said, "It looks like there's no way we can get our $2.5 million. But," I said, "there's a college that needs $85,000 that's going to close its doors." I said, "We can't save our college, maybe, but," I said, "we can save a college." And I said, "I'd like to recommend we write a check for tomorrow morning for $85,000 and send it to that college." I'll never forget as long as I live what Wells Walker said. He's in heaven now. He was vice president of the bank over here. Wells Walker stood up and he said about like this. He said, "Brethren," he said, "this doesn't make a bit of business sense at all." He said, "We're trying to raise $2.5 million and we can't find it. Now the preacher wants to give $85,000 away. Well, you got to give up some seed." But Wells Walker came to me after it's over and he said, "Preacher, if that's what you think we ought to do, I'm with you all the way." And I came to church that night and sprung it on you. And after you woke up from your faint, after I said, "Well, give $85,000 away," folks couldn't understand it. And yet, blessed be God, 12 minutes before the deadline, we got the $2.5 million. Let me tell you something, folks. There's a God in heaven, and that God in heaven wants to give. But he said, "How many loaves have ye? Feed the 4,000? That's nothing for our God. He can speak. And fish could start jumping out of the pan, well deep fried. And he could speak, and loaves could pop out of the wheat fields that he'd just made and put across the desert. He could speak, and apples could drop off fruit trees that just were created by God. He could speak, and the sun could ripen the fruit immediately. He could speak, and God could give food for 4,000 men, plus the women, plus the children. But he's the divine law of God." How many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? Recently, I mentioned I spoke in Murfreesboro Friday night. Friday morning, closing out the great homecoming conference of the Sword of the Lord. As I over 26 years now, I've preached in these Sword of the Lord conferences and so forth. And that great work there, out in the country, Dr. Bob Kelly, doing a marvelous work. That's amazing. Out in the country, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Sound like that some farm to market, sound like some 6 o'clock man on the radio in the morning, you know, talking about the price of hogs in Murfreesboro, the price of hogs, 75 cents up, and way out in the country, on a country road, great auditorium seating 2,000 people and a great Sunday school running 1,500 people. I sat on the platform and I shook my head and I said to myself, "I don't know how he's done it. I don't know how he's done it." And then after I'd preached, I went back to the little room, back they called it hospitality room. And it's where the sinners drink coffee and I drink juice. And so back in the hospitality room, and I was there, and somebody knocked on the door. And Pastor Bob Kelly, that good man that God has used in such a mighty way, opened the door, and he said, I got somebody who wants to see you. And he rolled in a wheelchair, and there was Mrs. Kelly. She's had multiple sclerosis now for years. And there she was. And I was on the platform saying, how'd you do it? I know how you did it. There came a time when Bob and Mrs. Kelly heard about it, and they had to bury their dreams and plant their future. And God in heaven said, you've given up some joy. I want to give you joy abundantly. I preached a few days ago over here at the great, in Normal, Illinois, at that marvelous church, Calvary Baptist, pastor by Dr. Bud Winninger, Jr. That beautiful, gorgeous auditorium and that amazing miracle work. And I sat there on the platform and looked in, and I thought, what a miracle! What a miracle! And then I thought, I wonder what's the secret? But I know what the secret is. Just a few hundred feet away was Mrs. Winninger, sitting alone in a house, unable to bathe herself, unable to come to church, unable to join in the ministry of the work there. And that good man all these years has been giving and giving and giving and giving. That's the way you get. Nobody's ever been happy because they receive. Nobody's ever been happy because they seek it. Happiness is accidental. Happiness, you say, happiness, I'd like to meet you. Happiness says, I'm busy. You say, happiness, meet my friend. And happiness says, and who are you? That's the way it always is. Happiness is stumbled upon, as Dr. Bob used to say, in the pathway of duty. And God comes and says, today, how many loaves have ye? But you say, Lord, couldn't you give me something without me giving it to you first? And God says, it's my divine law. Forgive me, I'm not taking the credit for this work at all. But if you'd like to know, and people often ask me, when folks hear about me, they think, boy, oh boy, that must be somebody. Then they see me and they say, is that Hiles? I told you about the lady down in Mount Vernon, Illinois. I was preaching down there with Dr. Curtis Hudson a couple of years ago in the summertime. She walked up, she said, are you the Dr. Jack Hiles? And I said, yes, ma'am, the only one I know. She said, I've heard about you since I was a little girl. She said, you just don't look like what I thought you would look like. And I said, you're not very pretty either. You want to find the secret to this work? You won't find it in a man. You won't find it in a personality. Now, I love to have fun, but you won't find it in humor. I love to preach, but you won't find it in a man's preaching. If you want to find whatever secret there is to my little ministry, you can see it this afternoon. You get in your car and drive out Highway 41 to get to Highway 30 and turn left. And you drive a few miles, about 3.5 miles, and you'll come to a cemetery called Memory Lane. And you turn right. That's the cemetery that the Memorial Gardens our church owns. You turn right and you go up and you'll find a mausoleum back in the back that our church has built. And you go inside and just on the left, you'll find a crypt that I'm paying for $50 a month. And you'll see on that crypt the name Willis Affy Hiles. That's my dad's body, what was left of it, 32 years decayed. 32 years ago, last May 13th in the afternoon, I knelt on that grave and planted. I planted a seed. And I've watered that seed for 32 years. And you're not going to grow a harvest until you plant. How many loaves have you? Let God have it. How many loaves have you? 7? I need them. Well, can't you feed these people? Well, 7 little loaves. What are 7 loaves to all these people? I need them. Well, but look, you're God. You spoke and worlds dance across the heavens. You spoke and the sun began to shine. You spoke and the stars twinkle as a heavenly chandelier. You spoke and the Rocky Mountains raised their caps like pyramids above the horizon. You spoke and the palm trees of Florida spread their leaves like umbrellas. You spoke and painted the desert You spoke, and the mighty redwoods of Northern California leap forth like the Samson of the trees. You spoke, and the palm trees of the pine trees of Carolina stood up like church steeples on God's sanctuary called the earth. You spoke, and clouds dance through the sky as carpet for those who fly and as shade for those who walk on earth. You spoke, and fruit came on the tree. What do you need seven loaves for? Jesus said, because if I bless you, you're going to have to give me something. You've got to give it up. It's been 2,000 years since our Lord said those words. Just as true today as it was then. Just as true today that except a corn of wheat die and fall on the ground, it abideth alone. Just as true, he that seeketh his life shall lose it, but he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Young men of God, how's Anderson College? Would you be great men of God? And be servants. Lose yourself. Give it. Let go. Let go. Let go of your prestige. Let go of your fame. Let go of your popularity. Let go of your dreams. Let go of your hopes. Let go. Let go. Let go. Bury it. This is not harvest time, folks. This is planting time. This is not crowning time. This is cross-bearing time. But I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus can take those little seven loaves and a few fishes and break them and feed 5,000. I remember the day that this auditorium was dedicated. 9,000 people stood or sat in these pews or stood in the back or sat in the aisles and chairs everywhere, and the mayor of the city was sitting right here, the city council beside him. I remember how the night before I stood right there and looked down at this building and I said, oh God, this is a mighty big building. I remember how I pointed to these beautiful pews, new and shiny then, and I said, pews, you're mighty lovely, but you're not going to get the attention tomorrow morning. And I pointed to those chandeliers and I said, you're mighty pretty, but you're not going to get the attention tomorrow morning. And I pointed to all this white wood and this baptistry and I said, you're mighty pretty, but you're not going to get the attention tomorrow morning. And the next morning, I preached on, he is altogether lovely. He is altogether lovely. I remember that morning, I walked out of office and down the hallway here and looked inside that door and ran back. I ran back. And I fell on my face in my study. I said, I can't do that. I'm a country preacher. I'm just an old country preacher. I'm no big preacher. God never intended me, I thought, to pastor a big church. I can't do it. Windows of heaven are open. I can hear him singing it now. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment and he gave me a robe of pure white. I gave it. That's it. I gave him my old tattered garment. Well, Jesus, what can you do with an old tattered garment? Well, it gets out of the way so I can put a nice new shiny robe on you. Well, what do you need with seven loaves and a few fishes? I don't need the seven loaves and a few fishes. I just want you to feel like you had a part. And my great divine economy is let go and let God have his way. And he says, let me have the seven loaves and the few fishes. And he said, I'll feed you then. I'll feed you. Sing it. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. A joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered. It's not very good anyway. Gave me a robe of pure. What a change. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy. I didn't have but a few loaves. I was the neighborhood drunk, son. I was the runt. I was the one that had no Christmas if the church forgot. I was the one who had no Thanksgiving dinner unless the church remembered. I was the one that nobody thought would amount to anything. You know, the only chance that little kid had when Jesus fed the 5,000, only chance he ever had to ever get famous was to give up those five loaves.
That's it. That's it. Let go. Let go! Let go! And let God have His way. Give it up. Whatever it is, give it up. You'll never have a harvest until you plant the seed. Our Heavenly Father,